Okay, it's 6 o'clock. We'll call the meeting for the Great River Regional Library Board of Trustees to order. Adopt or amend the agenda. Is there any additions, corrections, or anything else?
We'd like to move the Cold Spring Library site discussion up. I don't know if those folks are here yet, but maybe right after the audit.
Eight? Okay.
I'll move approval with that change.
Second.
We got second it? So we've got a motion and a second for approve the agenda. Any other discussion? Otherwise, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Approval of the March minutes. The board minutes, it was in your packet, page 3. We'll need a motion.
I'll make a motion to accept.
Sorry, I made a motion.
Second.
Seconded by Jane. Any discussion, corrections, or anything else? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Personnel committee? They met. That was for March.
Yep.
To approve that, we need a motion for that.
I'll make a motion to approve that.
Jane made a motion.
I'll second.
Okay, Melissa made a second. It. Any discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Number 4, public forum. We have a number of people that are signed up that want to speak. I see a few of these have been on the program before. We're going to do 2 minutes per person, and at 10 minutes, we are going to be cutting it off. So if you've spoken before in that, we're going to, you know, I'd appreciate it if you get somebody new is there to give them a chance, somebody else, somebody new to give a chance. Otherwise, that's kind of the form that we go. We got a fair amount of business before us tonight. So the first one is Barb Ruprecht.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. Well, many argue that we are not tolerant, that we are narrow-minded, not with the times. I would respond that if you tolerate wrong too long, you become desensitized to it and accept it. Truth is always consistent. It never changes. There's a reason why children under the age of 18 are called minors. There's a reason why there are restrictions on movies, websites, operating cars, machinery, entry to certain clubs, etc. for minors. Reason is that they are too young to deal with it, too young to understand, and they can't handle it, nor should they. There are reasons why we as adults are entrusted in the care of our children, cheering up a child in the way they should go. We are asking our children to carry loads that are far too beyond their years. They should not be forced as children to see and feel the world through the lens of an adult. Innocence is worth protecting and fighting for. We need to do our parts as teachers, parents, grandparents, and friends to protect our children until they are old enough to deal with adult issues. Now, banning books is a statement that seems always to anger the library board and many people. Therefore, I'm not asking you to ban those horrible books, though I'd like to, but I do ask that you search your conscience and at the minimum locate these books in an area that is restricted to parental supervision. Thank you.
All right. Mary Kay.
Mary Kay Hooney. I'm a mom of 5 and a grandmother of 8. As we have the most disturbing bills being passed in our Capitol today, you may want to hold your children and grandchildren closer and hug them more. A conference committee of all Democrats snuck pro-pedophile language into the public safety omnibus bill. They thought it was important to remove language from current law that states how pedophilia is not a sexual orientation. More importantly, why was the unanimously approved amendment in the House that made sure pedophilia is not a protected class was removed from the final bill? We are a sanctuary state for gender-affirming care. Call it what it is, mutilation of children. Our children are under a simply devastatingly horrible attack. And these books are part of the Agenda 2030 sustainability goals. I hope and pray that this board can find it more important to protect our children than some agenda.
10, Klockner.
I got to take a deep breath after that one. Sandy Clocker Avon. Thank you for meeting with us. I think we got somewhere. Maybe we didn't come to a meeting of the minds. I didn't see any of you there. I wish you would have been there. But we went through a few policies, and we had a very, very, very good hour discussion. So you have got the reconsideration conference form in front of you. I have four things that I'm going to go through. We are not asking that we ban the books. We are asking that we go through the books. We review a policy. We find out if this is really what we want to present in our community. We want them off the shelf. We really didn't have a clear-cut answer of what are the standards for these books. Who is reviewing these books? Who is ordering these books? Where is the transparency for the public and the parents when these books are on the shelves? The core values are to operate with respect for all. That's including children. Your community focus is we are inclusive. I hope that includes us. More importantly, I hope that includes the children. There are four U.S. court cases that are supporting removing the books. I know that Karen would like to do this by what everybody else does. I think we can start thinking for ourselves and what's best for us in our community. And another governor just signed a bill on May 12th, a couple days ago, allowing parents to challenge the pornographic books in schools. This is starting to come to a forefront, and we are starting to see it in the nation and hopefully in our state. And then I just want to touch one more time on the internet acceptable use. Now, under your policy, you have got the internet access with the obscene materials quoted here that it's not acceptable. I'm hoping that you can look at it at the porn books as well, not just keep it on the internet. And thank you for your time tonight.
All right. Thank you. John Palmer.
Good evening. I'm John Palmer from St. Cloud. I want to thank the executive director and Lee Lensmeyer, who encouraged me to pursue a observation of the process by which books were appealed or books were reviewed. And that's what I was able to do. Now, I didn't know for certain what I would start my presentation with doing, except thank yous, which are always in order. But today, in my normal reading, LifeSite News ran a headline that should tell us that this matter is going to be before us for quite some time. UN, WHO, Bill Gates are working to normalize pedophilia around the world. The WHO, UN NGOs like Gates Foundation want to sexualize little children and tear down their natural defenses against sexual predators. You're probably aware of an ongoing agenda that takes an approach to sex education that isn't an approach grounded in the values of a community. It's grounded in the opinions of a subset of the community. My observation of the process is that what you have done is put undue burdens on your executive director. You have not established objective criteria, nor a process that documents how it is you go about making your decision. I would hope that you, as a board, acting on behalf of this community, would improve the process by which the community can examine those things which have been selected to be included in the collection at the library.
Okay.
Thank you very much. I hope that you will take what I said under advisement. I am available to help. I know process.
Okay, thank you. And then we have Patricia Becker. Sorry.
Would you like some water?
I'm Patricia Becker from St. Augusta. The library does not have an obligation to satisfy the curiosity of every user on every topic. If you believe it does, ask yourself if the library is obligated to carry books on modifying firearms to make them more deadly, or on cooking meth, or mixing a date rape drug, or organizing retail theft. Does the library have to carry books promoting racism or anti-Semitism? People have been figuring out how to masturbate, copulate, and commit homosexual acts since the beginning of time without having to run to the library to look at a manual. There is no need for the library to carry these materials. Thank you.
Thank you. I thank you, citizens, for being courteous to our time, and the points are well taken. I think it was done respectful tonight, so I thank you for that. Next, we'll move on to financials. The bills were emailed and addendums were emailed. It's reaction approval. Part of that. Is the auditor here? Okay. So you want to do that first or do them all at once? 5-1, 5-2, 5-3?
Maybe do 5-1, 5-2, and then...
Okay, we'll do 5-1 and 5-2 together, so I need a motion for those two.
Make a motion to approve the bills and financial reports as presented.
Wayne?
Second.
Mary? You'll second. Yeah, 5-1 and 5-2. Any discussion? Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Now we'll have our auditor's report. Thank you.
All right, good evening, everyone. Can you hear me okay?
I can, but I'm right next to you.
Can you hear me over there?
Just put your little closer. There you go.
Okay. All right, that sounds better. All right. Well, good evening, everyone. I am Nancy Schultzenberg with Berg and KDV here to present the results of our audit to you. I did take the highlights out of the two booklets that you received and put them in this PowerPoint so that we don't have to dig through all of those pages. Feel free to ask questions as we go along or save them till the end. Either way works for me. So I want to start out by talking about the independent auditor's report. And this is the most important letter that we issue as part of the audit. It's found on pages 1 through 3 of the document if you'd like to follow along there. It includes discussion about what an audit is, talks about responsibilities for the audit, for the financial statements, talks about the different levels of assurances that we provide, but the most important paragraph is going to be the second paragraph of that letter, which is our opinion. And based on the results of the audit that we completed for December 31st, 2022, we are issuing an unmodified opinion, which is a clean opinion, if you will, and the best that we as your auditors can offer. Indicates everything was fairly stated. In addition to that letter, we do have a couple more formal communications that we issue. The first one is our report on government auditing standards. And those standards require us to look closer at internal controls and also compliance with laws, regulations, contracts, and grants. And based on our work in accordance with those standards, we did have one internal control finding. And this is not new to the library and not at all unusual for an organization of your size, and that is the lack of segregation of accounting duties. There are, due to the limited number of people in the accounting area, there are some overlapping functions. Management is well aware and has implemented some mitigating controls, but there are still some segregation areas. And then the last report is our report on the results of testing on Minnesota legal compliance. So the Office of the State Auditor of Minnesota gives us a checklist, and we complete that checklist, and it covers some broad categories of legal compliance as they relate to accounting matters, and based on our work there, we also had no findings. So clean compliance and just the one internal control finding for the audit. So congratulations and kudos to the team for all of that. The rest of the presentation will go over some of the financial highlights for the year, and we have some charts and graphs. Some of them compare year to year. Some of them compare 5 years, as you see here with your revenues. And when we look at the governmental activities revenues, this is a full accrual presentation, so it includes all of your payables, receivables, capital assets, depreciation, all of those things are encompassed here. And overall, in 5 years, your revenues are pretty consistent. They've gone down and up a little bit. They were up in 2022 about 7.4% or $712,000. And the biggest area change came in the state and other grants. Just with more activity going on in the library from 2022, you had more grant activity. And then if we look at those revenues in a pie chart format, we look at the 2 years, you can see that the revenue streams are very consistent. Regional receipts did make up 74% in 2021, and that dipped to 69% in 2022. And if you would look back to the previous page, you can see that they were virtually flat at a dollar level. But because of the increase in the state and other grant revenue, the piece of the pie for regional receipts did decrease a bit. Other categories very similar to 2021. When we look at the expenses for those saved 5 years, you can see that they have overall taken an increase, and most of that in that salaries and benefits number. So if you look back, you can see that they were increasing in 2019, and then 2020 happened. So you had some closures, and you had less activity going on. So salaries were down, and they rebounded again in 2022. And since that's your largest expenditure item, you would expect that to have the largest increase is what you see here. So overall, expenses for the year up about 12.8% and $880,000 of that coming in that salaries and benefits line. So similar to revenues, we have two pie charts that take a look at your expenses. And if you put these on top of each other, they would be virtually the same. So your spending is very consistent as to where the funds are going. One thing that does jump out as a change, if you look on the 2021 pie chart, you'll see a skinny gray piece of the pie that was for bad debt. That was the writing off of those fines in 2021. So that did not repeat in 2022. But otherwise, those pie shapes are pretty similar in size year over year. pulling that information together to give you revenues, expenses, and then the unrestricted net position or equity value, if you will. For the 5 years, you can see that for the last 2 years, your revenues were under the expense amounts. This year, expenses were over revenues by about $700,000, and that drove a decrease in that unrestricted net position, which still sits at a very healthy $2.6 million at the end of the year. And then finally, if we look at your total net position, you can see a little bit of an increase for 2019, 2020, and then decreases for 21 and 22. And the top portion of this bar chart shows you the net investment in capital assets. So that's all of your equipment and all of the collection that you have that's capitalized, less any depreciation, which is the using up of those assets over their useful life. And you'll see a downward trend the last 2 years in that category, and that has a lot to do with the switch to electronic materials. So those typically are one-year commitments and are not capitalized. So the depreciation is outpacing the additions for capital outlay for the last couple of years. The middle portion represents restricted amounts. So those are amounts that come to the library with a tag to be spent in a certain way. And the residual is there, $286,000 at the end of the year. And then the green on the bottom is that unrestricted number again. And you can see the decrease for 2022 just based on operations for the year. So that is the information financially that I have. I'm happy to take questions or look at anything in more detail if you would like.
You want to maybe talk about the impact of OPEB liability and HRA booking
last year? Okay, sure. Yeah. So last year, the library has always had a health reimbursement arrangement with employees, and last year that money was pulled out of the general fund and put into fiduciary activity based on some changes in standards. And so that was a pretty large amount, and that has been sunsetted, that benefit. So there are some amounts to be paid that are sitting in a separate fund, not presented with these amounts. And then the OPEB liability is part of what we're looking at here. Did you have something specific about that?
In terms of the personnel budget change.
Oh, right,
both of those impacted those numbers, and that's why you see the big fluctuation.
Right, yep, definitely.
I have a question, if I may, Mr. Chair. In the financial statement, this is just for our information, right? Are you going to, okay. So anyway, I can't remember what page, but you have assets for the library lease assets, and I'm sitting there going, why can you have assets in a lease when you don't own it?
Right. So there was a new accounting standard that was implemented in 2022, so I'm impressed that you found that. And what it does is measure your right to use that asset. And that is an asset in the accounting world terminology for an asset. So you don't own it, but you do have a right to use it for a committed period of time, if you will. So there's a certain number of years that you have signed a lease, and it basically is the parking lot for this building, that there's an annual amount that is to be paid for a certain number of years. So for those years, you have the right to use that parking lot. So it does have value to you, and then it has an offset so that it will get amortized over the life of the lease, just like an asset has
depreciation.
I kind of understand
that, what you said, but that's about it.
At one point when they first started talking about GASB 87, we thought we might need to book 32 different leases. So the fact that in the end we only had to book the value of the parking lot portion of the lease, I was really grateful for. That could have been a lot harder.
It would have been, and there would have been a lot more work to it. So, it was a good outcome.
All right.
But not the buildings.
No, because the building is, and this building in particular, separate from, it's all the same arrangement, but the parking lot is the only one that has a committed outlined amount that is a set amount and then increases each year. The other part of it is a maintenance type agreement, so it fluctuates from year to year. There isn't a standard amount that you owe. So there's a lot of cost sharing going on related to the building.
Silly.
Accounting standards don't always make sense.
Any other questions?
A CPA, so don't know.
Good.
I wanted to thank Amy for all of her hard work.
Yes.
She actually had someone, if you remember, retire from her department, and we were at the heels of the audit, but it was a lot on Amy's shoulders this year. So
Appreciate it, Amy.
And thank you. It's her third audit, so that's pretty awesome. I also wanted to express appreciation for Commissioner Diedrich for sitting in on the audit outtake meeting. Yes. So that was a new thing for her as a new commissioner, so it was good that she was there.
Okay.
All right, any other questions?
So.
Yes.
Thank you. We're good to go.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And before I go tonight, I would like to thank Karen, Amy, and the team for being very well prepared for the audit. It made things go smoothly on our end.
Okay.
We appreciate that. It's not always the case.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Yep.
Thank you.
Want to get the lights back on?
Yep. All right. So we're good.
So this was an action item. So we need a motion to accept.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Seconded
by Randy, seconded by Tina. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Consent agenda.
So there's one copy of the public library report here.
Okay.
It's this thick, so we only made one. I'll pass it around if anyone wants to look at it.
Picking trees.
Otherwise, they're pretty standard operating.
We just need to approve that.
Just need to approve it for the state.
Mary?
I'll move approval of the consent agenda, both the public library annual report and the basic system report.
Okay.
I'll second it.
Jane, a second it. It's coming around if you want time to look at it. Yeah.
These two veterans have been through this how many years now?
Nine
for me. Yes, these are pretty standard.
Eight and a half.
Okay.
Beth worked really hard, and Amy, to get all of the hardest part of that report is getting all the city financial data into one number.
Oh, I bet. Okay. So hearing no questions, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Communications, is there anything?
No. And then I think our Cold Spring folks are here. Yes.
Okay. So now we're going to move 12.1, the Cold Spring Library site discussion up, as we discussed in the agenda approval.
So Kara Langston's on her way up here. She's our patron services supervisor who oversees a bunch of our libraries.
Hi. How are you doing?
There you go. Maybe introduce our folks.
Yeah. So, hi, I'm Kara Langston, and Patron Services Supervisor for Todd Morrison and Selma Stearns. And here today are Chris Dockendorf and Mike Fall from Cold Spring. Chris is the city administrator, and Mike is on the city council, and they're both part of a committee that's been looking for a plot of land for the library site. So I'll turn this over to you all.
Hi, thanks for listening to us and having us here. It's kind of important. It may come as a surprise to you, but Cold Spring needs a new library. And there's quite a history. We've been trying for years to get a new library. I think we're finally at a point where we're ready to move. We had an architect come in and look at a remodel of the one we had, and we just felt after that even if we were to do it, there would still be too many deficiencies in a modern library. And so it hasn't been an easy journey, but the council's decided to build a standalone library. So our most recent task has been to find a site that we can sell to the public and sell to the rest of the council also. We looked at four or five different sites. We also went and toured the Kimball Library and to get an idea of what they did and how they did it. We felt that's a nice library for Kimball, but we felt we needed something a little bigger, somewhere in the neighborhood of 6,000 to 7,000 square feet.
Yep.
So, what do? They get the cart before the horse before the cart. But you got to find a site first, and so we think we have found a site. the sites we looked at, one of them was a fairly decent location, but would have taken a lot of valuable taxable property off the tax rolls, and it had a limited amount of expansion ability. The current site we're recommending tonight, we're really going to ask you for your okay on this site before we go to the council to actually finalize it. I don't know, did they get pictures of the site?
Yes. It's on page 51 in your packet. There's a visual.
I think the questions are, would this site fit on there? And we think it will. We have done some preliminary work, and it'll easily fit a 6,000-square-foot building, and maybe even a 7,000 square foot. We're also making an attempt to purchase an adjoining piece of property. We should be able to build that size facility and be able to park up to 20 cars there. Plus, we have overflow parking across the street in a city lot. So the site we're looking at.
I did print some extra copies in there.
Yeah, you can jump around if you want to.
I don't know if I have enough. You might have to share.
We can share.
Because yeah, it's a library. We're good at sharing here.
Looks a lot bigger now, doesn't it?
The blue triangle.
Yeah, so it's the blue triangle in your packet.
And the one we drew a building in there. That wouldn't necessarily be how it would be. We just wanted to see if it would fit. It would also fit north and south. It would also fit with the back of the trail. The nice part about this lot, we think, is the fact that it adjoins the trail. And okay. So there'd be walking and bicycle access to it. It's in town. It's only a block away from our current library. So it'd be, you know, well within the right range to walk to it. And the price on it is correct. the grant company has offered to donate that property to us. They want it. There was a condition that we have to forgive the assessments, but that's money we don't have anyway yet. So I guess at that point I just say, are there any questions?
Any questions? Mary?
Is that big enough?
We think it is.
For 10, 20 years?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's what, as big as Delano?
Oh, gosh. I don't
have to remember that off the top of my head. It's bigger than Albany's building right now. It's
bigger than Rockford's.
Yeah, it's 6,000 square feet is roughly what the recommendations have been every time we've run it, right, Kara?
Yeah.
If you've got that table somewhere. Right?
Yeah.
What
yeah.
is the size right now of the one that they have?
1,800?
Oh,
boy. Okay.
Yeah.
Definitely under. Wow.
Yeah, they're in a facility that was built in 1984, mm-hmm. and it's shared between the library, the city administration, the police department, and the fire department.
Oh,
so it's tight.
Mm-hmm. We're building a new fire department. We're moving that out, and then that would be exclusive for the police department and the city administration. Okay. We just think trying to remodel that building, start moving exterior walls, and, you know.
No.
I think we need to have an architect design a building that is going to last a while and meet our needs, so.
So does this fit your land use and parking standards
yes.
from a city perspective?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it does.
Good question.
Madam Chair, do you already have a plan? Or?
No. We're going to have to buy the lot.
Okay.
And then we're going to have to hire an architect. And we're going to, this is zone C1, so we can build right up to the property line. And that would be our intentions also. Oh. So we'd make it simple. We're just going to say, here's the lot that this is going to go on. Design us a building to fit on this lot.
Just wondering, can you make sure maybe they can still build up, you know, as your needs?
Well, that's a thought. Somebody else had mentioned
second
that to me the other
level
day.
Eventually,
build it. I don't know. Maybe is that a recommended idea to have a two-story building?
Then you have to have an elevator.
Or just future. Like that. We could have a sunroof.
Like everything in life. There's some political realities to it, too, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and we've got to be able to not only sell this to the public, but we've got to sell it to the taxpayers and sell it to the other council members. Right now, there's some movement. I think we're able to do that. But the people in Cold Spring are very conservative. And so we've got to, get the best bang for our buck. And the other pieces of land, there was a beautiful piece of land that was on the river, which would have been a beautiful location for it, but not quite so accessible to the public. And it was $350,000. Mm-hmm. Well, that's $350,000 would go a long way towards the building also. Mm-hmm. So we'd rather save on the lot than put that money into the building.
What is the city's timeline for this? In terms of final project completion, what are you looking at?
Again, the council has not enacted this yet.
Oh, okay.
And our intentions are to recommend, to follow the Kimball model, is to fundraise for it. And so our idea, we've got some money set aside already, so our idea is to have a committee. And I think if Kimball can raise $500,000, we have some heavy hitters in Cold Spring. They raised $1.7 million for a splash pad. We think we can raise a substantial amount of money. We're going to have a committee of people that we'll have to put somebody's name on a brick probably. But ideally what we'd like to do is to fundraise for the whole thing. And we think that is possible. But if we can't, then we're going to have to go with a grant route.
Mary?
We have our projected cost, not yet.
Well, maybe we just have the square footage, and we estimate that that's going to be, a couple million bucks.
Mm-hmm. But two?
Mm-hmm. At least.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
The Kimball building was over $1 million.
That sounds cheap.
Yeah.
So, Mr. Chair, Karen, are we looking to get a resolution from us to approve the site?
Well, I think that's the tricky spot. We don't have something to approve yet because they haven't bought it, but they don't want to buy it without us saying, yeah, this is a cool site. I'll just say it's a cool site. If you're familiar with Cold Spring, and I drive past there almost every day, it's a block from the coffee shop. It's a block from the splash pad. You're right on the trail. You can go biking to Dairy Queen or A&W in Richmond, get your ice cream, come back,
Plus, we have a new ice cream shop.
Yeah. Oh, I heard about that. Yeah. It's going to be
a block from the bakery.
Yeah, exactly. You can get it in the grocery store, in the bank. This is a really nice spot.
How exciting.
It really is.
Yes, for sure. Can we?
We'd like to have some kind of resolution, but I guess.
Endorsement or?
Well, resolution.
Something or
resolution? This means that we approve the site. Doesn't mean
in concept. Yeah,
it doesn't mean that we're approving the dollar figure or whatever.
Yeah.
So.
I like Karen. We approve the concept or.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That'd be great.
I like that.
Yeah, and I think that we could come back with at least a schematic drawing from our architect firm that we're already working with for the fire hall. They've already said, we can draw at least an idea of what you want. This is just a drawing that one of our staff did, who doesn't do this for a living, but had, some abilities on the program. So it's kind of a rough idea. We expect it to be professionally done. And maybe at that point, if you feel more comfortable with a resolution.
Yeah, I think that the way our policy is written is the city commitment comes in that Great River invests time in helping. And so I think that's probably what this board would be really looking for in terms of getting the project going. And it's really hard because you're looking at purchasing property. So it's a little different than some of the other situations we've looked at.
Well, we just like to be able to say that we presented this and there was no objections.
Mm-hmm.
Positive response.
In fact, very positive.
Very positive, yes.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, it seems ideal.
Yeah. It's a nice location. It's it's not the ideal shape lot, but it can work.
Yeah.
And so, we need to get this thing moving. It's been talked about for a long time. And so we've got a little momentum, and we want to seize the moment.
Sure. Great news.
So what can we do?
I think you probably got the general feeling that everybody's in support. I think you can go back to your council and say that.
I can just say that we've received support.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. And if you need something more formal, you know, come back.
Sure. Yeah, we'll get it. We'll get the ball rolling. Yeah. I want to be able to go back to the rest of the council and say, we've been here, we talked to you people, you're the experts on libraries, and we've helped from the staff.
That's maybe the
owner. Let us know when you're fundraising, too.
Yeah. Well, we'll hit you up. That's right. Well, it just seems to me that,
let Wayne know.
It's like ice cream, and we go to Kimball's, so now we'll go to Cold Spring.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for the presentation.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, that's kind of exciting. Seems like we've had more of them in the last few years than prior years of getting new libraries. So. Is there anything else under presentation? Okay, then we move to Executive Director's Report.
There's a few things. Well, if you didn't read my report, there's been a lot going on, and I can tell you, frankly, that if you'd have told me a year ago this is how I was spending my time, I wouldn't have believed you, but here we are. Jane, I think, is going to be doing the CMLA report, but it's not an understatement to say that has been a lot more work than any of us imagined it would be. Hopefully we can get to some resolution within the next month on that. User survey went out. You're probably hearing from some folks about, you know, getting emails about a survey. It's legit. We really did pay for that, and we are hoping to have those final results presented to the board in July. County presentations, you know, they went pretty well. The Wright County one was a little different than the rest. I'm still kind of sorting out.
Can I add it?
Portina wasn't there.
And I didn't think they were going to be going in that direction. I had no idea.
We were all surprised. It was a good conversation. And, you know, I think Maple Lake has always been one of those unresolved questions. Mm-hmm. But, you know, over the course of the years, we've contacted them and they've contacted us. So I don't know if anything will come of that, but. Yeah, it would have been nice. Commissioner Vetch did a really nice job of saying, you know, this is working really well for us, so we really want to spend staff time on it. Okay. I'm glad to hear from community members that maybe this is just kind of a one-off issue, that it's not like this undercurrent we weren't picking up on or something. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, 9 libraries for $2 million, it's hard to come up with an efficiency that's better than that. Right. So, book challenge, I think we'll talk about more later. We did have the appeal with Ms. Clocker and Ms. Hooney, and Mr. Palmer attended, as they indicated in the public forum. And then some things that we're keeping an eye on legislatively. I mentioned this at the Finance Committee in the last week. We learned that the $4 million proposal for the fund, the formula change for regional library basic system support, is in the final version of the education bill. It is supposed to be indexed to inflation. It's not signed yet, but we may be seeing about $200,000 more than we anticipated for 2024 if it passes. So that's pretty exciting news. The other things we're keeping an eye on is Juneteenth became a holiday. There's rumors that it may become a holiday in June.
This year.
We don't really know that that's final, but we don't really have a plan for that to happen. So we might have to have a quick executive committee if that's official, because we don't have the library scheduled to be closed that day, but it's my understanding we probably would have to be closed. And then paid family leave is also one that could impact us, and I'm not really sure what that will look like in the final bill, but that would definitely be something we'd be paying into as a large employer. So things to just know that may impact us sooner rather than later, and we really won't know until the legislature adjourns and the governor signs stuff. So,
Karen, is there any impact of pension reform? Okay.
You know, there's a lot of stuff floating out there, but everything's happening behind closed doors, and so you don't really know what's going to actually come out until it's signed. And that's, and you know, just because it's out now doesn't mean it's going to get signed. Like, probably, but I don't want to bank on it. So, yeah.
Any questions? I've said recently I don't want another legislative report till the ink is dry.
Yeah.
Seriously, by this time, it is behind closed doors, and until the governor signs, it's not in statute.
What happened to transparency?
Yeah.
Don't exist.
Yeah, that, things don't happen the way they used to. They might actually get it done on time. That would be a first in a long time, too. Mm-hmm. But they've been in final hours and then not signed stuff at the last minute, and then, you know, you don't have a bonding bill or a legacy bill, and that was the easy thing to do. So,
I know.
There is a slight change to the legacy amendment language related to libraries that we're not too concerned about. It had something to do with being required to consider Minnesota authors and those from diverse backgrounds, but that for legacy programs, but that's something we already do. So to have it spelled out wasn't a major change for us. Any questions about the director's report? And I've got Jay and Kara with us. I've asked the leadership team to attend at least 2 board meetings just so that you become familiar with the whole leadership team. So Jay's chosen to come tonight to talk about his management report.
Okay.
Oh, you don't need that.
Well, I just want to highlight the ARPA parking lot wireless project. As everybody's aware, the feds dropped bags of cash on everybody, your counties and the library included, and we decided to be smart and use it to put parking lot access points in our parking lots where we have libraries with parking lots. So we did 12 libraries until we ran out of money. And so we did finally get that finished. It was a long haul for weather reasons and supply chain issues, but that's done as of Friday the 5th. And I just wanted to share that we have 1 full week of data so far, and we have 132 uses already in just 1 week.
Oh my God.
So, we didn't know 100% going into it would be successful, but I would call that an early sign of success.
They're really strong signals.
And they're
right?
Very strong signals. That's, we'll probably go back and adjust that a little bit because, you know, Highway 55 and Kimball doesn't need wireless.
That might be an interesting experience driving through it. And then, I don't know, was there anything, Amy or Kara, you wanted to highlight from your management reports as long as you're here? Okay. Do you want to come talk Swanville, maybe? So we're up to building reports now, if that's okay. This is something that happened after we printed the packet, so it didn't make it in the packet.
Yeah, so the Swanville Library Museum building had water intrusion when all the snow melted. And I had heard about that, but then it sounds like it did actually cause quite a bit of damage. And they are they're currently watching for mold. And let's see, the city is in the process of appealing for bids to repair. So
that may or may not impact us. We don't use the basement a whole lot.
No, I think in the past it was used for programming, but it's not particularly accessible, so it's not something that we have people down in there very often. Obviously, we'd want to make sure that it's safe and healthy, that sort of thing, but we don't have people going down the back stairs. They do not have an elevator.
Okay, all right.
And then we got staff recognition report.
Yeah.
Page 41.
Good thing we passed that personnel policy. We have somebody who's up 40 years now. Peggy celebrated today in Peggy style. So staff recognition is 41. Yeah, we missed the stats, but we can go back to that. Peggy is one of our longest standing employees, and she had an ice cream social today.
Okay.
in the break room. Actually, I think it goes till 7:30, so if you get done real quick, you might still be up there.
Well, congratulations to her. That's awesome. That's amazing.
You can start to see, too, you know, we did a lot of rehiring finally last year. You know, we did no hiring in 2020. We did 19 promotions in 2021, and last year was the catch-up year. So we're starting to see those one-year anniversaries starting to come through. So, yeah, we have some really great staff. They're all awesome. And in terms of the quarterly statistics and the human resources statistics, I don't know if you want me to go over, like, page 33. These are our quarterly benchmarks for strategic plan, and you can see things like providing those services through the edge assessment was something that we wanted to do through public technology services, so partnerships with places like CentraCare or Career Force, or I know there's been the dementia presentations that Brandy mentioned in her report. So we're starting to count those so we can actually quantify how often that's happening. The digital library is continuing to surge. So we're seeing about a 29% increase in usage over last year. So that's going to continue to be one of those areas we need to probably invest more. It's tricky, though, because it's not something we own. So it's going to be really great to have that survey to hear from patrons what they actually want to see from the library, especially knowing that those surveys went out to borrowers who were expired and borrowers who are current. So we'll be able to hear those two voices separately. CERCPR open hour was impacted last year because we added open hours, so we're starting to see some growth there now. And going down, you know, the new resident borrowers are very strong. You know, last year we were at 3,700 for the quarter, and we ended with 18,000 new borrowers last year. This year we're at 4,200, so much stronger. And you don't see it on this report because this is just first quarter. We are now 3 years out from the pandemic. So quarter one, 2020, we were still business as usual for most of the quarter. What we've seen now in the last 2 months are big jumps in total resident borrowers. So we had 700 more in April and over 1,000 more in May. So I think that's where we're going to start seeing that growth come back finally. It's just taken 3 years to do it. You know, the fines free is starting to slowly show its value, you know, outside of miscellaneous receipts. Like, CERC is up, and that's not every library, but it's some of the bigger libraries now, and that's a big deal. The other ones kind of speak for themselves, but, you know, we're doing pretty much what we aimed to do that first quarter, and I can go deeper on any of those stats if you'd like me to on page 34. If you look at 35 and 36 and 39, those are probably the most telling numbers library by library. Like, 3 years ago, almost every library at the end of first quarter was still lower in borrower numbers than they were in 2020, with the exception of Kimball. And they got a new building in the middle of all that, so that makes sense. But that growth is starting to come back. And then if you look at circulation on page 39, what is different about this report is we're starting to see bigger libraries like Buffalo finally increase again. And that those were the ones that, you know, we were just not seeing people come back last year in the way that they were in the smaller libraries. So it's good to finally see Elk River and Buffalo up year over year again for a while. That's the first time in a while. So we're excited to see that. The other interesting stat is the Sartell locker. So borrower numbers are up in Sartell. Circulation is down. That means there's fewer items going out per person. And so even though we have more lockers, it's contributing to the demand that we were working through. The backlog was worked through. We stopped actually having Sartell as a hold pickup site for a little while so that we could catch up. It seems like now that we've gotten through that backlog, we're okay for now. But it's something we'll have to continue to watch, because that one does function differently than everyone else. And then jumping ahead to the HR stats on page 43, our turnover is higher than we'd like to see it, but I think that's more of a sign of the times than anything unique to Great River. The fact that we're seeing that many applications and interviews, in spite of having some of the positions paid at under $15 an hour, I think is a good sign, too.
Just in general, that you have that many applicants and interviews, I mean, from a county standpoint, we can't get applicants for hardly anything.
It's weird what we get. Like, distribution aid is something that starts $11 an hour. We're still getting 8 to 10 people apply. And most people are showing up for the interview. And then some of our coordinator positions that are part-time or even our benefit-eligible clerk position, we just didn't have as many applicants. So it's a really weird market. You'd think you'd get applications for your higher-paid positions, and those aren't the ones we're always getting them for. So,
is it mostly retirees?
Some retirees. You know, the aides position, we've also worked really hard to promote the fact that we have paid holidays and PTO and flexible schedules, so that appeals to students as well. You know, it's a different environment than working at a McDonald's, and if we'll work around your class schedule in the fall, that's a benefit to you. So, yeah, it's all over. But credit to, you know, we have two people in HR and then the three patron services supervisors. They're doing the bulk of these interviews. So we're spending a lot of time interviewing. But we're having people who stay, and I think that's really important.
Okay. Anything else under other?
No.
Okay. Then we'll move to committee reports. Randy, finance.
All right. We had our finance meeting today at 5:30. Pretty much everything went smoothly. We got, was explained to us about what interest we're getting. We're getting an average of about 4.5% to 4.7% on our money. Again, it's getting moved around quite nicely. So as they come due, our CDs and our anything else, we're making our best effort, Great River is, to get this bang for their buck. We also want to have, we the finance agreed to buy down, what was it, $40,700 more, right?
In the reserves. That's in reserve. The preliminary. Yep.
So to take that down to offset all the counties, so everybody should be at a $0 figure or less as far as the revenue goes for the month or for the year of 2024. Yep. So otherwise, that's about pretty simple there. So I would make that motion to approve the finance committee.
Second.
Motion by Randy, second by Wayne. Okay, any other discussions or comments? I know Amy commented on how much more interest we were getting. It's substantial.
Yeah. Nice. Interest has been tough to budget because it's been changing so much.
So fast, so it's
coming in strong.
And Mr. Chair, I just want to say thank you. It was really well presented and a lot of work to go towards that. So thanks.
Okay. Any other questions, comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Central Minnesota Library Exchange.
Well, we've been very busy lately. Mary Jordan did resign her position. Her last day was May 5th. She was a temp at the St. Cloud Tech School, and she's taking a full-time position there now. As of June 30th, we are going to be out of our present building, which is the Central Minnesota ERDC. So we have three options we're looking at. We're looking at St. Cloud State University is reconsidering us, and also Solutions, and what is it called, Karen?
Resource Training and Solutions.
Are thinking of giving us a proposal. We haven't got that yet, correct? And we also have a third option of going to up to East Central Library in Cambridge. They might consider that. They're having a meeting to see who is going to see if they'll give us any options. Otherwise, we are still going to be on the street. But so far, St. Cloud Library has taken is storing some of our materials, as is East Central Library up in Cambridge. So we our materials are secure. We do need to have a fiscal agent to take our money eventually. So, and that comes when? And
that's part of the lease. So hopefully we get this figured out. Because Jane is president and I'm treasurer, so we're signing checks for CMLE right now.
So Karen and Carla from East Central have spent tons of hours on this, and I thank you for all that, for your direction and help, because we've had to take over all the websites of everything and just change everything all over. So we're still in the process of trying to figure out the move. But at this time, we're secure. I do feel comfortable. The bank accounts are all secure. My name is on most of them. Karen's is on all of them, and she's also on the website. But as of June 30th, we hopefully will have a place to move to and have a fiscal agent to take our money for CMLE. So we're looking for more members, or we're going to do that later, right?
Yeah, we'll
further
need,
down.
Yeah, you need to fill one position on that board tonight. Okay.
Moving forward on that one, Jane or Karen. Why is it this? It's always been a little tough. Why can't they come here and make this their permanent home? It's always been Central Minnesota Library. Why don't they just make this their permanent home?
You know, we talked to the state. We met with the state librarian and said, can we just split this region in two?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
If we do that, the multi-type funding, which comes from the state, is now divided by 7 regions. It would be divided by 8. So CMLE would actually end up with more money and everyone else would get less. So the state is reluctant to do that. That being said, they are getting more money in the same proposal we are. So that's not completely gone, but the state library is very hesitant to do that. We tried to make that case. We could try to become fiscal hosts here. East Central really feels strongly that they are underserved by CMLE, because it's headquartered in St. Cloud and they're nowhere near St. Cloud. So, you know, if they really want it, I'm personally would be happy to.
East Central would be up by
Cambridge. They're the other half of the region. I would love if Resource Training and Solutions became the end host. If you look at their footprint, there's only 3 counties that are different.
Right.
Like, they're already doing this work. I think it would be beautiful. Their overhead's a little less than what St. Cloud State is, although I haven't seen the actual proposal. I'm hopeful that even if they aren't it this year, St. Cloud State would sign like a 1-year contract, take them over, deal with all the stuff, and then they move permanently to Resource. That would be, I think, the ideal in my mind right now. But
so who is that Resource?
Resource Training and Solutions. They're, if you remember, they did the we did a project with them on Future Forward. They presented on that database that they were trying to build, and then they stepped away from that project. But they serve schools. Their board is made up of school board members, county commissioners from all of these counties. And so they have like a network of superintendents. They have a network of educators. And CMLE's mission is to connect with school libraries. Like, it just seems like a natural fit.
They're
but it's never been.
As well.
They're a nonprofit. They already are a fiscal host for other situations, which is what they were referencing when we had the conversation. So I'm really hopeful that that might be an option. It's never been done that way before at the state level, so the state would have to want that too. St. Cloud State's not a bad option as well, because they do have a school media specialist program. Maybe CMLE could then offer courses for credit or something. But their overhead's a lot higher and goes up every year. And this is going to be a flat funding, even with more funding. So, yeah, it's just a lot of work for Jane, too.
And
so,
Mr. Chair, are they going to be hiring a new executive director?
We have decided not to move forward with that right now, because if they moved to St. Cloud State, they would have to rehire the position anyway. It has to go through their union contracts and their hiring process, because they're a state entity. Resource would be the same situation. I don't know what East Central would do. With the East Central model, we talked about East Central being fiscal host and then splitting the money, and then each region offer their own multi-type services and hire our own people. So that's one thing that still could happen. Hopefully we get this resolved by June, because we've got to get the state aid application in. The audit's just coming around the corner.
So like, you're just waiting to see where you land.
Yep. Before. I'm hoping by next Friday we have three possible contracts to look at and to recommend to their full board.
And that next meeting will be June 14th, I believe. We'll present it to the full board. And the executive committee would really like to rewrite the job description for the executive director. Okay. It's kind of what my thought was. I want members first, not dealing with podcasts that go out all over the country. It doesn't really serve our members. So kind of different focusing things. Karen and Carla have a lot of ideas, and they've been with it the longest. So really looking for their input. So we're hoping for one member to step up to be with our group. Zuri is in our group.
I know, it's so I've been on this board how long? And this is one of those pieces that still is kind of fuzzy for me.
Yeah. Very fuzzy still, even after.
And you're the chair? Yeah.
Jane's the chair and says it's fuzzy.
Since February, I know, the person resigned. We lost our place. So I haven't really done a whole lot that doesn't show that.
You're doing a great job, Jim. Because I think I was on there a month.
Great job. Thank you, Zuria.
Yeah. So we meet on Wednesdays because that's the only day that Zuria has off.
I'm going to start working from fall on Wednesday.
So can we appoint Lee since he's not here?
He was on there once already. It's we off.
I know, but let's give it to him.
Mr. Chair.
Mary.
Was there any discussion with the state about the ongoing purpose?
Oh, yeah. Please. They still think that there's value. Point where they recommended a budget increase for the multi-types, and they're getting it. So, yeah, this is... Yeah.
Perhaps for other regions, but maybe not here.
And they won't let us get rid of it. We tried.
Okay. The state librarian is very supportive of continuing on. She'd like to have us basically at St. Cloud State University because she wants more library people coming out. She's hoping they will help us coordinate some programs more. CMLE would help with more library services programs.
So she is supporting...
Well, she would
affiliation
like
affiliation with St. Cloud.
So far, but we haven't proposed the other ones. But she's supportive of whatever we do. She's actually been coming to our meetings, Zooming in. She came in person also, and she wants to be invited to all our meetings from now on. And so she's really a neat lady. Her name's Tamara.
She was here in October, if you remember.
Well, and I'm no longer part of that, but I had... strong feelings about it, you know.
Yeah. Well, you turned off. You can come back on.
Yeah.
No.
That was quick.
You know, one of the things. I think one of the things that has made CMLE difficult is the amount of turnover at the board. And part of we tried to solve that by going down two board members.
We're down to 9 from 11.
Yeah. We only have 3 appointees from Great River now. Because I don't count. I'm the public librarian seat. So we used to have 5. And Dorothy Kirsten's willing to come back. Thank God. And Jane, I've talked into staying on. And I know Zuria can't. So.
It's going to be in therapy after this.
Yeah. I didn't know that. So thank you for your service there.
Okay.
So we'll talk about that later. Any other questions about CMLE? It is still very vague.
Trying to get it back on track, right?
We're trying.
It's going to be great when we're done.
Yeah. It's going to be.
Is that a promise?
Yep.
Okay. We'll move on to unfinished business. Board members, job description revision. It's on the request and action.
If you remember last meeting, we... annually look at the board description. It was suggested we put it in the same format as our other job descriptions. So you see the marked up and the clean copy version. It looks like there's more strike-throughs than there actually are. A lot of this was a format change. The two major content changes is the our commitment to diversity and inclusion, which was the statement we added to all job descriptions last year, and we added that by Zuri's request from last month. And then looking it over, I added abide by the Great River Code of Conduct, because we never added that when we updated the Code of Conduct, so I thought that was worth throwing in. So that's what you're looking at there.
Any questions of Karen on that? Nope. It does need approval.
I'll make that motion.
Tina, is there a second?
A second.
Jane? Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Anything under others?
Nope.
Then we'll get to new business. We did the Cold Spring Library again, and then we've had some discussion with Karen on the collection development committee discussion, and we're going to have some staff and a couple of commission of trustees that'll be on there. It's kind of up to who talked to me or who did what, and I've made the decision that Commissioner Fovey will sit on there, and Lynn has agreed to, and Wayne, and we're going to do three. We'd only have to have two in attendance, so we have an alternate to make meeting scheduling a little easier, and then they'll bring stuff back to us as they see fit. And maybe for that, you know, we'll have something to go to these members that we're changing the process or looking at the process.
I put a summary on page 53. Like, part of the issue is, you know, we keep hearing about one title, or you guys keep hearing about one title. There's a whole list of titles. We've never had this many titles. And, you know, just looking at collection development policy, we have selection criteria, but is this what we want to stand on? Because I think that's what you get to the heart of the issue with every book we've been brought forward is, like, how did this end up here in the first place? And I want to make sure our staff feel confident making those decisions and that they've got the board's backing, and I want the board to feel confident that the policy we have is worth having. And the publishing industry has really changed. Like, there's a lot more self-published titles. Reviews are one of our criteria. But if there isn't a review, how do we decide to add it? How do we decide where it gets cataloged? Does it belong in the young adult? Does it belong in the juvenile? Does it belong in the adult? How did we decide whether things stay? How many people should be looking at this? Like, we've really streamlined these processes over the years. Once upon a time, we had selection committees. Now we have a process that is largely patron-driven. If there's a lot of holds on something, we're probably going to buy it. Uh-huh. And maybe that's okay, but I think we want to be sure that that's what we want.
Sure.
So that was where the thinking
so
came from.
My understanding, too, is when we have this committee, and this committee is formed here that approves these books in this part of their library, right?
That's not what the committee's for.
I'm not talking about now that if somebody approves a book, it comes in here, and the staff here is the one that says we should take it on or not, right?
Yep, and they're using different reasons
I understand that. So mm-hmm. Are they looking at books that are just, you know, all... writings, or are they looking at, you know, because again, you'd get some books that are 500 pages and they can't go through all
that. I'm sure I could hire people who would just read books if that's what we want.
But the illustration ones for the kids, those are that's where I think the challenge is coming in, because I'm going to go back to Dr. Seuss. They wanted to take some of them, and it's like, you guys are nuts, you know, but.
Yes, well, and we've chosen other libraries. I've chosen different things when it comes to especially books like that. Like, we still have The Little Black Sambo in the kids' collection. This is a book, right? Like, is that okay? There are board books being published now. Well, it's a board book. You think it's for babies. You look inside. Not sure if that was the intended audience, but if you choose to put it somewhere else, how are you deciding that? And I feel like we really need to feel solid about how those decisions are being made with the number of questions that are being asked.
And see, then my point is, common sense. That's, again, I don't know if you can bring that into library books, but the one they're talking about, it's like, why would this be a child's book? You know, but, okay, it was made for that, and I don't know. It's just like, why would you have illustrations of that stuff?
So. Well, and here's the flip side of it. This book has been in the collection since 1994. I have a copy with a pocket.
And I believe that. You know, it's like Dick and Jane. You know, where was Dick and Jane?
Right.
But it's kind of like, yeah, because probably no, but all of a sudden somebody sees this book, and then times are changing. Yeah. It seems like it's a little bit more difficult to get rid of a book. Maybe that's kind of what it is, but if I'd look at that book, I'd say, yep, shelf that dang thing, but well, not maybe the next one.
One of the questions I have is, like, why do we have a request for reconsideration process? Like, why?
Yeah.
Why?
Yep.
Like, if we've decided to buy this book, why? And why is it different than any other patron complaint?
So that's why I believe it's important to do this, because if the process as it exists today, you have an appeal process, and the criteria is the same as when you selected the book, and the same people are on that appeal process. It's a flawed process because you'll never get an appeal approved because you're using the same criteria. And so this committee, I think, is really important to do to, as you said, get more specific on the selection criteria and how it's done. And I think there are some solution sets out there. For example, some books, clearly, I think, people could recognize they're for adults only. So why can you not just say this book can only be checked out by 18-year-olds and older? I'm not forming a solution set here. I'm saying that committee needs to look at the whole waterfront of this thing, because the people that are coming in here, I believe they have valid reasons for what they believe, and I believe there are some books like Randy was talking about are inappropriate for children, and there ought to be a way for this library to fence that off.
Yeah. And feel confident in how that decision was made.
Right.
Like, I don't want to put a staff in a position where they're making a decision that they're like, well, this might be a little dicey, so I'm going to put it over here. And that's the reason.
Yeah.
Because then that's arbitrary. And then that staff person leaves,
right,
and somebody else comes along, and they feel differently. Like, that's not right.
Yeah. I'm not in favor of banning any books at all. I am in favor of protecting the children from some books, because clearly every one of us in here can make a decision on what's appropriate for a child versus an adult.
But the book that they're asking for repeatedly, it's not in the kids section, is it?
Speak up.
The one you got a copy of last meeting was not in the kids section. The one they're asking repeatedly about is not that book, mm-hmm, and it is in the kids section, except for one copy, which isn't. Like, when it was cataloged at one point in time, it was put in the adult collection. And then it was put in the juvenile collection. So if we're making a change, how are we deciding that that change is made?
And how did that happen?
Time. Oh. I suspect time. I suspect because we haven't weeded the oldest copy of the book, and at that point in time, we did not have a young adult collection, the decision-making process was different. And this was done before there were computers. Mm-hmm. So who did it? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Like, it's got a pocket. This book's been here longer than me.
I've gone to some of our libraries and I've asked about those books. And they go, well, it's been here for 20-some years. Or, you know, it might have been a different edition. But our local libraries have had access to it. And a lot of them didn't sound like they were getting it checked out very often.
Until now,
everybody wants it out.
Until you're putting attention to it.
You know?
I would like to appeal to the chair. I have to be on the committee. I know there's already set. I understand that your process. I obviously didn't know the process and didn't call you first.
Okay.
I've been doing my homework. I ask for a new perspective. I'm new to the board. I obviously have a passion for the library and what you're doing here, and I would like to appeal to the chair to be on the committee.
So, my purpose with saying 2-3 is we can't have a quorum of finance, executive, or personnel. And so we can't have a quorum.
You can't if you post it. Remember that.
I don't want to do that.
You
don't.
Well,
don't make me do that.
But, but you can post it.
Yeah,
post
and then it's an open meeting,
right,
and then it's a whole different.
So I'm just saying, it's not absolutely.
And maybe, I don't know, maybe we do want it to be open meeting, but that's a lot more work.
just in terms of Patty's time.
The committee will bring it back to the board.
Yep.
Yeah.
And, you know, we did this a long time ago. If you've been here long enough, you might have heard about the staffing calculator. We had a restructure committee. There were two board members on it. We posted the minutes. We reported out at every board meeting. And my goal would have this done in time for an October work session for the whole group to talk about it. So we'd have a short timeline. Like, this is first week in October.
Harry?
How many of these books are self-published versus?
None that Jamie's gotten a complaint about, but one that we just purchased recently, I'm like, because it's political. Like, some of these books are just out in the sphere, and there's libraries who are choosing not to buy it for whatever reason, and so we bought it because we had eight people asking for it. No reviews. So, you know, if patron demand isn't the reason we purchased something, then why did we add it?
So self-publishing does not have really anything to do with it.
Nothing. Well, it could. It's just not these right now.
All right.
Mr. Chair, so a quorum of the board is...
Well, we're looking at a quorum of the Finance Committee is what?
Quorum of the
Board is of any of the committees is four.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
So that's where we run into the trouble.
Okay. Four would be four. A quorum.
Yeah.
So three.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's why we chose. And we technically, Karen would like two to always be there.
Mm-hmm.
And we took three, so we have an alternate. I picked Lynn because she's got the background from her days in her job at St. Cloud Cathedral, and Lisa's got some psychology background, and Wayne was all in when I asked him, so that's kind of how it shook out. And probably if I would have known you longer, Tina, I probably would have asked you. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But again, if I may, Mr. Chair, next year there can be another committee, and you can just start the process.
Yeah, I mean, you're on the security committee.
And maybe somebody will.
And we need a variety
of
opinions, not just.
Not just my opinion.
You know, we got one county commissioner.
Or mine, or Wayne's, or Tina's, sir. We need a variety. It must be equitable.
And we will have people that will term off this board. That, you know,
yeah.
Don't know how long Lisa's got left.
Yeah, I think it's Randy and Wayne, or
yeah.
Randy. I'm out.
Well, and depending
Wayne is
on how things
term
go
off
with,
this year.
Yep, I
so,
don't remember.
Tina, we will keep that in mind.
I think it's next year.
Next year.
Yeah, and I know Zuria's term is up, and Al's is up, and with the committees or the
county
board
switch.
Seats switching between counties, I'm not sure how that might impact. Stern's appointments as well.
Okay. So. But I thank you for your
Randy
wholehearted, deep interest
well,
in
what
this.
What was that, Pat? What was that?
Randy and Mary term off this year. At the end of this year, Wayne has one more year.
Okay.
Oh. And me?
I.
I know that, so.
Yeah, you can be reappointed at the end of this year for one more year.
My board. They're just terrifying.
And yes, you will.
Yes. This one I'm okay with. Right? Not CMLE, though.
Okay.
It was a serious.
I know.
Okay.
I could share this.
I know.
So that's kind of how it shook out in the process. So,
Mr. Chair, are we gonna have? I mean, you said October to wind this committee up, but are we going to have reports along the way, or are we just going to wait until October?
No, there'll be reports at every meeting. No.
Tina, you'll have an opportunity to input.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
I will report. I would recommend we report at each meeting.
Yeah. And if there's feedback, like, send it to me. Like, we're happy to consider everything.
I was, from my standpoint, I was very happy with the people that came before us today. They abided by the time. They were to the point and didn't get carried away. And I think as long as we stressed it at the beginning that we were going to stick to the minutes, nobody got off the trail too deep
for us. So.
And I'd like to say thank you for getting them together, for the conversation, for the review. And I think you guys accomplished a lot.
Yeah.
A lot. Thanks. Understanding, a mutual understanding, those kind of things, as much as you did.
Yeah, so, thanks.
I appreciate it.
I'll be completely transparent. Like, I was not always my best self in that conversation. They were very gracious because there was a point in time where I'm like, I don't know if we're going to get somewhere. But it was, my goal was to make sure they felt heard. And I think that was accomplished. So,
I think it reflected in how they presented today. So thank you.
Yes.
As long as we were talking about that meeting, I did want to mention, I know that Ms. Clucker mentioned during her presentation that she had wished that some of the board was at the meeting. I would just like to make it known in the minutes that we weren't, that isn't part of the process, that we weren't
right.
mm-hmm. supposed to be there, and we weren't there. So it wasn't that we didn't want to be there, that some members didn't want to be there. It's that we were not. That wasn't the process.
Yep. And I appreciate you guys just respecting that, because too many of you would have showed up, we would have had open meeting problems. So, yeah. And Jamie was there and took notes, so she can give you the full play-by-play.
Give you the notes if you're with
Jamie. Okay. Trenum was there. Yep.
Minnesota Library Board Exchange Board Appointee.
So Dorothy needs to be reappointed.
There we go.
If she's willing to do it, okay. But we do need to fill one more spot.
Everybody knew it. Don't everybody volunteer at once.
We could solicit for a citizen. That being said, I don't know if it would be a good idea to put someone who has no idea what's going on into the role. So,
and we could have the meeting anytime.
What's the term, Jane?
The term is
2-year terms for 6 years total.
I'll do it.
Oh.
Oh, my God. Bless God. Him. There is a God.
You really know what you're getting into.
I thought.
Help you along.
How to spill it. Will somebody quick make a motion?
Yeah. And Dorothy.
And Dorothy Kirsten.
Dorothy Kirsten and Lynn.
And Jane. They all have to be read.
Oh, they all have to. Yep. So we have Dorothy, what? Kirsten?
Kirsten.
Kirsten. And Lynn. And Jane.
Yep.
So can I get a motion for that?
I'll do it.
Okay, Mary will make the motion. Is there a second?
I got it.
And Melissa's got the second. Is there any discussion? Anybody disagree?
No.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. I can't even vote, but I'm so
just relieved.
I'm so excited.
Randy, you only lasted one
meeting.
Month.
One meeting. But no, that, okay, just to clarify, I did not say I watched that big a look at it. like an interview, and I go, this isn't me.
I did 1 year, maybe, huh?
Yeah, that's yeah, great. And then, you know, we eliminated the position.
Yeah,
and you
thank
took
God.
That opportunity.
Okay, then we move on to 12.4, Preliminary Budget Proposal and Discussion. It's on page 55.
So this is the first look that the full board has at the budget. The Finance Committee has been looking at this since March. Some of the bigger changes include an anticipated increase in regional library basic system support based on last year's allocation. What's not in here is the likelihood of actually receiving more. We're going to just take that as it comes and not include that in the final budget at this point. City of Elk River has discontinued their agreement, so that budget line is gone. And then we increased things like the amount for patron receipts because that's actually collecting at a higher level than we anticipated, and then interest is also higher. Most of the other changes are, you know, pretty minimal. The personnel budget includes the pay raises that we've already agreed to in the union contracts. It also includes an extra open hour for St. Michael Public Library based on the library development plan recommendations.
Let's see. Those were the biggest changes, I would say. So at the Finance Committee, as it was mentioned earlier, if you go to page 63, this is what the Finance Committee actually approved in terms of what each county would pay. We're adding an additional reserve amount. So if you recall, we already approved dollars at the end of last year as a surplus to roll forward into 2024. We also have a spend down plan from the reserves that we had put in the budget for 2022. So we are actually recommending $40,000 more than that amount, knowing that, one, state library aid is likely to come in higher, and two, when we did the audit calculation on the unassigned fund balance, even with all of our additional spending and changes out of reserves, we went from a 6.44 or a 4.55 months of reserve to a 4.69 months of reserve. So it actually went up slightly in terms of the calculation. Had a lot to do with all the moving parts. You know, operating expenses were a little lower. State aid offset a lot of what we were spending money on.
And if I may, Mr. Chair, and for Karen, she did a great job because he estimated this, what, 2 or 3 months ago, and she was within $700. The Finance Committee knew that. So, I mean, that's kudos to her.
That won't happen twice, probably. That was me shooting from the hip because the question was, what can we do? Because Sherburne County was the only one seeing an increase because of the way the formula fluctuated. And so by adding an additional $40,711, we would bring even Sherburne County to a flat budget, and all the other counties would see a decrease in this preliminary budget proposal. So a reminder, this is the first time the board looks at it. The next time we would likely meet would be in July, which is when the final budget needs to be approved. So if you want to see anything changed, we would need to have a June meeting to do that. If you don't, then we would just put this in front of you in July to pass as the final budget.
Yes, Mary?
So, am I understanding, in addition to the $40,000 to accommodate Sherburne County, where I live?
Yep, keep those taxpayers happy. I kind of skipped it.
But the levy down for them a little bit, not much.
Yeah, it ain't much. I know. But how much are we tapping reserves?
Okay,
in this budget?
Page 58. I kind of skipped over that. If you look on page 58, it has the unassigned fund balances marked out. So you can see what the actual amounts were in 2021, 2022. What we're proposing for 2024 would be the $407,350. That's from last year's surplus. So instead of sticking that in reserves last year, we decided we were going to put that in the 2024 budget. Just roll that forward. And then the other cash reserve amounts from that spend down plan back when we said, there's not going to be a need for this. What do you mean, rainy day? And then COVID hit. But we're still spending that amount down, and we're at $160,000 for 2024. So this would add $40,711 to that $160,000. Then we would put forward, we would just update and put in front of the board a seven-year spend-down plan based on the total rather than having two spend-down plans per policy.
Say again.
And our reserves went up.
And our
reserves went up a little bit. And we'll probably have a state surplus revenue.
Right. And
probably.
If that happens and interest rate goes up, so we should be sitting pretty good.
Yeah.
Come for the 2025 budget.
Yeah. And, you know, we could designate at the end of the year once we know the dollar amount, or you just roll it forward into 2025.
Correct.
You know. There's options.
So we anticipate interest rate increases
substantially.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good ones.
We still have, if you look at the finance packet, I don't know if you have it in front of you,
our lowest interest rate right now that'll be expiring in May is at 1.83. We have one that just expired at 2.85, and a lot of those are coming in over 5 now.
4, 5. Yep, I know. All right. Well, I don't, it's just my gut, but I don't think they're going to continue to increase. We're not going to 6 or 7 or no.
But no. They'll be stable.
Depends on what the feds do.
Yeah. 1 year.
1 year.
And then?
Probably.
Yeah.
As long as people continue to borrow, they'll continue to raise.
Yep.
No.
All right. Thank you.
All right. That it was not an action item. It was just for information only. Anything else before the board? Board open forum. Do we have anything? Anybody wanted?
Well, yeah. I'll see. So, again, if we're okay with the budget, no meeting in June, right?
That's the plan. Except for the people who are on the committees.
The next meeting in July would be when?
Is it
that's
time?
What I would like to know.
It's the third Tuesday.
So 25th, 18th?
18th.
18th?
That sounds right.
So the next
meeting in June then?
Yeah, unless you really want to work.
Unless anybody wants budget.
18th.
So our next meeting will be July 18th.
Is there going to be a personnel or no?
In July? Possibly if we... Ryan has been talking about updating more job descriptions to put them in the new format, but I don't know how that'll fit with everything else that's on his plate. So it'll be contingent on that.
Okay. Finance for sure.
Yeah.
Yep.
And the regular board meeting. So watch your packet. Watch your emails.
Yep.
Well, and then we have to pass the budget.
Right.
July.
Right.
July.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we have a couple of counties that are already asking for numbers.
Lisa.
I have a conflict with that meeting. Our county board has decided to do one quarterly meeting in the evening. That's our next quarterly meeting.
Oh.
Hmm.
Sorry. That's okay. As long as we have quorum. We only need 4 committee members for finance. Otherwise, it'll just go to the full board, and the board will have to pass it. We'll need 9 people.
And, okay. And I won't be here on the 18th either.
Well, I don't think I will either.
Let's just cover that until we get there. Then
you're all fired.
He hasn't seen his calendar.
We could pass it with 8, right, Patty?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
We need 8 of you.
We need 8.
So what meeting will we have in June?
None.
Okay.
Yep.
Did you want
this? So we'll play it by ear, and if it looks like we don't have a quorum, we'll have to make a different. Well, we got to pass a budget.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have to pass a budget
because counties start to need it.
Yeah. We could do well. Yeah, I don't think the executive committee should pass it.
It's been really washed and thoroughly discussed. What changes are there going to be
to the budget?
You could pass the budget tonight if you really wanted to, but I don't know about that. That's a good idea.
What time is your meeting?
It's right at the same time.
I mean, could we do a meeting
before?
We could bump the time up.
Yeah.
You probably have board
in your email.
We have board meeting.
No, wait.
You have yours in the morning.
Can you write down June 14th?
I have
at noon right here.
Okay, I'll be here.
Oh.
I'm just going to tell you.
So 1, 2,
yeah.
You can. Okay, we'll just
see,
play
I'm
it.
I'm supposed to be at both tonight, but I kind of go back and forth. So all depends who's on the budget. Or the, for the, I may not be able to make it either, but I don't worry about it for another 45 days.
Right.
What does July
18th
look like now?
Okay.
Yeah, that's the best way to do it.
Yeah, see if you have a, because, you know, finance wouldn't. Have to meet. And even then, you still only need 4.
They haven't given us.
We'll just leave it at June, July 18th and see how it plays out. Okay.
Okay.
Great.
They are a great group.
All right. With that, we're adjourned.